Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Don't look now, but the Red Sox currently hold a playoff spot. They win again today, 7-4 against the Cincinnati Reds. The Sox, 9-2 over their last 11 games, 6 games above 500 for the first time this year, and they take the rubber match against the Cincinnati Reds, 7-4 out of Great American Ballpark. So great to be with you on this Sunday evening. Joe Weil with you inside the WEI studios. Jacob Lastner behind the glass here at WEI. We're manning the ones and twos, and we're going to take you close to 6 p.m. talking Red Sox baseball. Another great win for this team. They had to use 8 pitchers in this one. And while it was a bullpen game, while a lot of arms got taxed and the bullpen used heavily in this series to the point the Red Sox actually might need to make a move tomorrow just to get a fresh arm on this team for the series opener against the Blue Jays. Another team win. Jarren Duran playing like a superstar again today. 3 more hits. He now has a 13-game hitting streak in which he's hitting over 400. Connor Wong also playing like an all-star. He smacked a 2-run home run to get the scoring going in this one in the fourth inning. He now has a 13-game hitting streak as well as this Red Sox team just continues to roll. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Again, we're going to be taking your phone calls, getting your texts in before we have to duck out here just short of 6 p.m. But what a job this team has done turning things around, because it felt like for a long time all they were going to do was just hover around 500. But they have played phenomenal baseball recently. They've beaten good teams like the Phillies and Yankees in this recent stretch. They've beaten the mediocre teams, sweeping the Blue Jays, taking 2 out of 3 here against the Reds. So going 5-1 on this current road trip that just came to an end. And again, the Red Sox are about to come back home and take on the Blue Jays and the Padres here coming up. But what a run. And it's a testament to this coaching staff, the player development side of things, getting the job done and allowing these young guys to improve and get better and helping them do that to the point where they are not just holding their own here at the big league level, but actually being wildly productive big league players. Jarren Duran, surefire all-star at this point. Connor Wong, one of the best hitting catchers in Major League Baseball. And the guys hit on it on the broadcast, but really the best offensive catcher that the Red Sox have had that plays on a consistent basis since the Jason Varitek years and his prime years. Seidon Rafaela didn't do a ton offensively today, but he's been great offensively this month. And then David Hamilton pitching in another double. What a story he's become. Up and down the lineup, young guys delivering, and then the elder statesmen like Rob Refsnyder also playing a huge part in this game and in this season. And despite the injuries, despite the low expectations, this team now currently sits in the third wild card spot. And it's a testament to everybody on this roster and everybody on this coaching staff. I'm fired up. Hope you are too. And we love to talk Red Sox with you. Let's now hear what Alex Cora had to say after the 7-4 victory over the Reds.
Describe kind of how you guys were able to put this one together.
We asked certain guys a lot today in the pitching department. We'll see where we at tomorrow. But threw the ball well. Zach keeps pounding the strikes home with good stuff. Booze for this is a third straight day that he pitches. Got us some big outs. Marty was good again. The big guy was good. Overall, a great team performance. We put good at bats against a tough lefty. He's really good. And, obviously the righties did a good job, but Rafi with the walk, Dumb with the walk, Hammy put good swings, and Jarren.
I guess you're probably hoping you can get a little bit more out of Keller, maybe.
Yeah, but, I mean, it didn't happen. So, we're trying to win the game today. It might rain tomorrow in Boston. Probably not, right? But we we finished the trip the right way. We play well. There was a lot of energy. What Jaron is doing in the little spot is fun to watch. You know, put good at bats, hit the ball the other way. It's fun to watch.
Why do you think? What were you doing that had such a good plan against the lefty?
The numbers are the numbers. I don't believe too much into that because it's small sample size, but it felt like they saw the ball well. They were on the fastball, and they put good swings on it. They took some close pitches, right, for balls. And obviously Rafi and Jaron are going to play, but I feel like Dom can put good at-bats against lefties, and Hammy, he gets to the four-seamer. That's why he was playing today instead of Valdi. So we're going to mix and match. Probably there's going to be guys that are not going to like that they're going to start that day, but like you saw, Willie in the fifth inning, it is what it is. That's what we're going to do. Romy put a good at-bat. It was a good game.
You guys are six games over for the first time this season. How would you describe the way the team has played starting since that Philly series?
Just all around, there's some kids that they're playing better. Rafaela, Hamilton, of course, the big boys are doing their thing, but now it's a longer lineup. A lineup that can do a lot of stuff, we're very dynamic, and we went from a roster that we had some question marks early on in the season that now it feels like it's one of the best rosters position player wise that we had in a while, from 1 to 13, we're not afraid to play them, right? And we're in a good spot right now. We are.
When you say in a while, like how long, how many years?
I don't know, it just last year, I think for a stretch we were good, but then we got hurt, right? In 22 was the same case. But this is a complete. The 13 players that we have are doing an outstanding job. If you go one by one, who's struggling right now? Everybody's doing their part. They're doing what we asked them to do, and they're playing with joy, which is more important.
Rob Snyder.
All right, so that was Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 7-4 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. And that last question and answer was actually very fascinating because Red Sox payroll, the X account, which is a fun follow to keep track of the Red Sox payroll and is on top of it in a way that almost no X account really is. They put out an interesting tweet. And we'll end with this. We're going to hit a break. And again, Jacob Laster, he's here, man of the ones and twos. He's going to give us a trending in one moment. Back in 2021, the Red Sox were in the first wild card spot at this point in the year, 44-30. And of course, they ended up making the playoffs. They made it to the ALCS, having taken one of the wild card spots. They beat the Yankees. They beat the Rays in four games before losing to the six in the against the Astros. But then in 2022, 39-31 at this point of the year, second wild card spot. Then in 2023, on this day, 40-37, they were a half game back of the third wild card spot. Now, at the very least today, they're going to be in the third wild card spot because they just jumped the Royals. They're 42-36 after the win today. So what this tweet points out is that the last 2 years, the Red Sox were either in one of these positions to make the playoffs, or they were right outside of it, and they finished in last place. Do you think this year is going to be different? We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937 as well. But now it's time to see what's trending with Jacob Lastner.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. In the NBA, Sam Cassell has been elevated to a higher role in the Celtics coaching staff. And in college baseball, in the World Series, Texas A&M won Game 1. The second game is going on right now. The Red Sox defeated the Cincinnati Reds this evening by a score of 7-4. Jaron Duran went 3-for-5, and Rob Refsnyder hit a two-run home run. Connor Wong also homered for the second straight game. They currently sit in a wild card spot. The Red Sox are back in action tomorrow night when they face off against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park. First pitch is at 7:10. Lou Maloney and Will Fleming are on the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Rich Keefe will begin the festivities with the MassMutual pregame show at 6:10. In the MLS, the Revolution defeated Cincinnati 2-1 yesterday. That win moved them into 12th place. And in the NHL, the Florida Panthers lost 5-1 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 7 is tomorrow night in Sunrise. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that is what's trending.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Run it's been for Wong, a 12-game hitting streak, 16 for his last 43. Pitch, drive to left field, hits way back, at the wall, gone! Connor Wong for the second straight game, he goes deep. A two-run bomb and the Red Sox lead it 2-0.
How about Connor freaking Wong? 13-game hitting streak, a two-run home run to get the scoring going today, and it's all part of a Red Sox 7-4 victory. Oh, by the way, he had to catch 8 separate pitchers today as well. It was a bullpen game for the Red Sox. They still win it. They don't lose except for one time on Sundays. 12-1, the Sunday Sox. And now 42-36 overall this year. 6 games above 500 for the first time this season. They're a 7-4 winner over the Cincinnati Reds. Joe Weil with you here inside the WEEI studios on Red Sox Review. Jacob Lassner behind the glass, the BC product. Man of the ones and twos behind the glass. Great to work with Jacob. For the first time for a full Red Sox review show. We had a long game one time that we didn't really get a chance to do a show together. But he was at the parade a couple days ago with the Jones and Mego crew. And now back in the studio today. Here with me as we round out our Red Sox coverage here. We got about 30 minutes on Red Sox review. Kenley Jansen, by the way, he picks up his 15th save of the season. So he's 15 for 16 in save opportunities, and hadn't mentioned this yet, but 8 Red Sox pitchers, I mentioned that part, but no walks allowed by the Red Sox pitching staff today. So all in all, they get it done, and every game feels very important right now because while we're still a month out from the trade deadline, the Sox are racking up the W's and becoming a team that in the eyes of many more, not just here in Boston, but outside of the city as a possible playoff threat. I talked to Doug Glanville for Sunday Night Baseball for the Red Sox pregame show. He did the radio call for ESPN and we had him on. He actually told me that he picked the Red Sox as a team that was going to make the playoffs, which I didn't expect a lot of national people to do that, but he liked what they had on the roster. He felt good about the pitching staff, even though a lot of people didn't coming into today, coming into the season. And he said he had them as one of his wild card teams, which surprised me. And it is surprising to see the way the Red Sox have been able to put it together and play really consistent baseball coming into their now upcoming series against the Blue Jays. This all could have turned out differently had they not come back in that game against the Phillies. I keep mentioning this on my post-game shows, but it does feel like things really turned in that homestand against the Phillies and Yankees, who keep going back and forth between being the best team in Major League Baseball. It's actually the Phillies now because the Yankees lost again today, and the Phillies ended up winning their game against the Diamondbacks this afternoon. But they were down 4-0 through 3 innings in the middle match of that 3-game set against the Phillies. This was last week. and they come back and win that game. They take the finale. Then they take 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. And a credit to Alex Cora and this coaching staff for not allowing this team to put their guard down against mediocre teams that they're playing right now. The Blue Jays and the Reds, both teams below 500, but they had a team meeting before the opener of that series against the Blue Jays, and basically the whole message was, hey, don't let your guard down. Keep doing what you're doing. Let's keep this thing rolling. And they put together a 5-1 road trip against bad teams, or mediocre to bad teams. Sweeping the Blue Jays, 2 out of 3 against the Reds. And they have some real stars on their team. Jarren Duran is playing like a superstar. 3 more hits today. An RBI double in the 4th inning. Scores in the 6th. He has been un-freaking real. I expected him to be good this year. He's playing like one of the best players in Major League Baseball. And the stats honestly show that too. We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Tell us how you're feeling right now. Do you believe, now that this team is 6 games above 500, what part of this team are you enjoying the most? Which player are you enjoying the most? We want to hear from you. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. He wants to talk some Jarren Duran. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Joe. Wild day. Isn't this wild how, Joe, people forget I'm visually impaired. And I don't really see the games, you know, because of the contact fiasco. But I listen. And when you listen, I have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so I hear twice as much as I say. And for me, hearing today it's Wong coming alive, and we don't seem to do, when you're constantly doing what's right, and no errors, our team can't do no wrong. And then what Jarren Duran did, I think it was the day before yesterday, where he hit the ball, got us a run. I didn't realize he's 6'3", 6'4", but they said that. He climbs the wall and robs them of a run. That single-handedly won the game for us. What I'm hearing is the emergence and the development of a new group of guys, but it seems to be like dominoes, an effect where they seem to be getting better and better as a group. And the new names I keep hearing verify that we're building what you call a comprehensible, and the pitching staff, again, with the names that we keep popping up with and the way they can be so dominant. And then there's not a lot of errors. We had the one game three days ago, 3 errors, we blew the game. That was a flashback. But when we're pitching right and not doing errors, we got another, it's only not even halfway through the season for another 5 games. This could go somewhere. I'm excited. It's fun to see them turn into a better team than we expected.
Yeah, Paul, I feel the same way and appreciate you chiming in. And if you want to grab Paul's line, 617-779-7937. What is exciting you most about the Red Sox right now? Which player, and are you bought in now that this team is 6 games above 500? That's the prompt for you. We want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. Yeah, they're inviting buy-in right now. And Jarren Duran, as Paul was just talking about, he is building himself to be the leader of this team. And Alex Cora talked about it in pregame with Will for Saturday's broadcast about, you know, Rafael Devers, he's the guy that everybody looks at as the face of the franchise, and for good reason, because of how much money he's being paid. But there's only so much he can do as a leader. And now Jarren Duran is stepping up as one of those guys that all the players on this roster are looking at and are a little bit in awe. They're talking about it very publicly. I love what Rob Refsnyder, by the way, said after the game on Saturday, after Jarren Duran, as Paul was alluding to, made that incredible catch after in the 4-3 win, where he's basically just saying, like, if he's not an all-star, that's messed up. If Jarren Duran isn't an all-star, that's messed up. That's what he told Jamai Webster of Nesson after the Red Sox were able to pull that one out, and he made a game-saving play in center field. And then today he goes 3 for 5. It's the consistency day in, day out from this guy that has been absolutely remarkable. And this is a guy that's had to really work to become the player that he has now become, and he's one of the most electrifying players in Major League Baseball. We're biased because we're on the Red Sox network, but that's not hyperbolic, saying that he is one of the most electrifying players in the sport. It's just not. because of what he can do on the base paths, his ability to get on base because he's able to hit it to all fields. He's showcasing power more. And by the way, he's also one of the best defensive outfielders in the sport. He came into today third in the American League in outs above average. And he can hit and he can steal bases. He's been freaking awesome. And so has his team recently. We want to hear from you. The calls are rolling in right now. 617-779-7937. The Red Sox, a 7-4 winner over the Reds today as they take their fourth consecutive series. They have not lost their last seven series. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in the third wild card spot, jumping the Royals, who lost today. They got shut out against the Texas Rangers, and now that series, that's coming up in July, so it's a little ways away. That becomes a little bit more important because you figure they're a rising team. Maybe you're going to have to be battling with them. But there's so many parts of this team that are exciting right now, and that's what we want to hear from you. What part of it excites you the most? Jaron Duran's the easiest answer, but he's also a great answer at the same time. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. My man, Wally!
What's up, Joe? Nothing to complain about this weekend. Roman Reigns is coming back. A little bad news for the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton's on the DL again.
Yep, that'll hurt him.
For about the fourth. You know, what else is new? But you have to give Duran all the credit in the world, man. You think of this guy a couple of years ago out in center field flapping his arms, but he's really busted his rear end and made himself a real good player. Like I said, a lot of people don't notice him, but he's helping out. We're all helping out. Everybody's chipping in. It's going to be no excuses for Craig Breslin. Now he's got to reinforce his team a little at the deadline or before. We know we have a little bit too many outfielders. See, maybe we can get another reliever in a right-handed bat, but that's nothing new. But he's got to make some moves. Otherwise, these guys aren't going to be happy campers.
Yeah, and Wally, I appreciate the call. And I hit on this before we went to our first break of the program. Red Sox payroll, the Twitter account, put this out about, you know, the way the Red Sox have played on this day in recent years. And what the account put out was the records and where this team stood, because last year there were three games above 500 on this date, just a half game out of the third wild card spot. And then 2 years ago, they were actually 39-31 on this day, and they were in the second wild card spot. And we know how those seasons ended, where they finished in last place. And I think last year, more specifically, that was a team that had been really duct taped together because of the great work by this coaching staff. And Alex Cora deserves so much credit for what this team has been able to accomplish this year. And really everybody on the coaching staff, but Alex Cora is at the top. And Will made this argument, and I think it's a fair one, that this is maybe his best coaching job yet, just because of all the injuries and inexperience on this roster. But I bring up the records from the last two seasons just to point out that they were playing at a similar clip the last two seasons, and then this all fell apart. And to Wally's point, if they keep playing well, and especially if they keep improving the record and get more games above 500, this is a team then that deserves to be added to at the trade deadline. Now, to what extent, I don't know, but they're playing great, and they're now giving all of us more optimism that we're in for a fun summer, where a couple weeks ago, we just figured this team would be 500, and because of the way the offseason went, that there wouldn't really be a reason for this front office to add to this roster. They're starting to change the conversation, and that's what's really exciting. Again, 617-779-7937. If you're just joining us now, the Red Sox won again, 7-4 against the Cincinnati Reds, 9-2 over their last 11 games, six games above 500, and now they hold the third wild card spot. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jake in the car. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right. How you doing, Jake?
Doing well, appreciate it. And yeah, to Wally's point, you know, I wanted to talk about how we got a lot of outfielders, but Rob Refsnyder deserves a couple more innings. He's second in the league in OPS on the road, and Masa Yoshida's not giving you that same athleticism on the bases or the field. I'm pro Rob Refsnyder getting some more at-bats. Wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, Jake, and appreciate you chiming in. He's been the unsung hero of this entire season, because there was talk in spring training about, well, do they need to keep this guy on the roster with, you know, all the outfielders that they had, and is there really a spot for him? They've needed this guy. he has been one of the best stories this year, and I agree with Jake. You got to keep getting him in the lineup, because what's been really fun about Rob Refsnyder's season, and again, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937, what's been really fun about this Rob Refsnyder season is that he's hitting right-handed pitching along with continuing to rake against left-handed batters. I think MGM bets, I was talking to Jacob about this while we were sitting in the studio, there was like a plus 575 bet for Rob Refsnyder hitting a home run today that, boy, I just wish I jumped on, because he's just delivered time in, or game in, game out. He did it yesterday with a pinch hit single to tie the game up in the eighth inning, but he gets the start today against the left-hander Nick Lodolo, and didn't get any hits off of him. He did walk in the first inning, but against Brent Suter in the sixth inning, hit a two-run home run that helped create more distance for the Red Sox in this one. And Jake's right. This guy needs to continue to play. They gave Yoshida the day off, and frankly, he's been lost at the plate this season, and more specifically, since coming off the injured list, to the point where I almost wonder if you'd feel, and actually, I don't know if I wonder. Right now, I do feel more comfortable with Refsnyder hitting against a right-handed pitcher than Masataka Yoshida. And that's a testament to both where those guys stand right now. Rob has been so consistent. He's been huge for this team. And what a story. And it never gets old that a guy that got some run in the big leagues early in his career, and by the way, for your arch rival, and bounces away, you know, bounces around a couple different organizations, then comes to the Red Sox, and this late career, you know, transformation has unfolded in his 30s, where he's now a really productive baseball player. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. And it's also kind of amazing that you have him on one side and then Yoshida on the other side, who's getting paid $18 million a year, who just isn't contributing on the offensive side of things, which you hoped he would do as after being signed as a free agent. But it's Refsnyder who's come through again and again and again. He's one of those guys you appreciate more and more as you watch him. And he has been incredibly huge for this team that has sustained injury after injury after injury. And yet here they are, six games above 500. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin and Bill Ricca. He wants to talk about the upcoming trade deadline. Hey, Kevin.
Joe Wild, thanks for taking my call. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
I am so happy about how the Red Sox are playing this year. But the downside of that, you know, sorry, it's going to embolden upper management to not do anything. We're on the right path. You know what I mean? We don't have to do anything. Because we get all these young players in the minors. I mean, I'm saying in the offseason, you got to trade Trevor Story because Marcelo Mayer is ready to play shortstop.
Kevin, just to cut you off for 1 second, who do you think would take Trevor Story, though, with that contract at this point?
Well, you just get him for a bag of balls. I don't know. You know what I mean? But Abreu, these young players, Sadon and Hamilton, where'd he come from? You know, and he's just been fantastic. You know, and, you know, Connor Wong. Oh, my God. He's having a career year. And I'm so happy for this group of players. And I hope they make the playoffs. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Oh, of course, Kevin. Appreciate you chiming in. And if you want to grab a line, 617-779-7937. Before we can get pessimistic about what may not happen at the trade deadline, let's try and enjoy what we're seeing right now, because we entered a season with really little to no expectations, and now they're giving us something. That being said, if the arrow continues to point up, and this doesn't just sit at six games above 500, say it sits closer to 10 games above 500, and you have this loaded farm system and there's a move to be made that actually really makes sense, it would be disappointing because this team is showing you something. On top of that, you have a guy in Alex Cora that I just would do everything in my power to try to keep him within the organization because of how great he is as a manager. He's showing you once again that he is one of the best managers in the sport, because this roster has been duct taped together. And it's not to say that there aren't guys here that have promise. That's obviously not the case, because they do. David Hamilton, Jaren Duran, Connor Wong, Rob Refsnyder, even though he's not a young guy, you talk about the pitching staff too, Tanner Howe, Cutter Crawford. So many of these guys have taken step forwards this year. And it's in part because they have somebody that has emboldened them, is also fair with them and ready to criticize them internally, not out in the media, but to give constructive criticism, and is so good communicating that in a way that allows the player to take it in, that this team is where it is again. 6 games above .500, and at least building a case for this front office to make a move at the trade deadline. But again, that's still a little bit of a ways away. Let's go back to the phones before we have to take a break. Let's go to Bill in Brockton. Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for chiming in.
I just wanted to talk about two things. Connor Wong, one, I mean, he's on pace for, like, he's the most, to me, just he's right up there with Duran, because if he's on pace for over, he's not just in, like, platooning here. He's on pace for over 400 at bats and like, 20 home runs, and he calls a good game. So it wasn't all lost in the Mookie Betts deal, because he was part of the Mookie Betts deal. But I just want to caution everybody to be, I'm a glass half empty guy. This pitching staff, you can already see kind of it coming back down to earth with Cutter Crawford and a couple other pitchers that I just don't know how long the water can keep its level with this pitching staff. But I give them all the credit in the world. They're fun to watch right now.
Yeah, all right, then. Thanks for chiming in, Bill. And he's right about the Connor Wong aspect of it. You get him back as part of the Mookie Betts deal. I don't think there's anything outside of Connor Wong becoming the type of valuable player that Mookie Betts is that makes that trade easier to stomach. At the same time, he's right. He's become a really productive player. And Lou Maloney hit on this on Twitter today, or X, that he deserves to be a part of the conversation. He really does. And the conversation being the All-Star conversation. He has been that good at the plate. And 13-game hitting streak is no joke. On top of that, you look at just his splits for the year now after today. He ends up going 1-for-5, so it's just the home run. But he's hitting .330 with a .390 on-base percentage and a .480 slugging percentage. He's been legit. And think about the excitement moving forward here of the catcher position, because you have Connor Wong already, and then Kyle Teal's coming up through the ranks. Imagine that duo together, and especially what they can do at the plate. That's exciting. But Connor Wong himself is already an exciting player. And again, the Mookie trade's always going to hurt, but that one, or that part of it, the fact that you've gotten a good catcher back that's playing at an all-star level, helps soften the blow, and he's a big part of the victory today, a 7-4 win over the Cincinnati Reds. All right, we're going to take one more break, then we'll wrap things up on Red Sox Review. Again, the Sox, 6 games above .500 now, 42-36, and they hold the third wild card spot. Back to wrap things up right after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, we got a couple more minutes before we have to wrap things up here on Red Sox Review. And if you're just joining us, the Red Sox are rolling. They went 7-4 today, and they're now 6 games above .500. And they own the third wild card spot right now in the American League. So everything on the up and up here in this city. Let's go to the phones one more time before we have to duck out. It's Lance in New Hampshire. He wants to talk about the trade deadline. Hey, Lance.
Hey, how's your day?
Oh, it's been good. It's been good. It got even better. How are you?
I am doing great, and I love this team, and this team needs and deserves support. And the name I want is Garrett Crochet, and it's going to take a lot to get him, and we've got what it takes.
All righty. I like a caller that knows exactly who he wants, and Lance, appreciate the call. And that's a name that is going to either be dealt at the trade deadline or will be talked about a lot, Garrett Crochet, because he is young and he doesn't hit free agency until 2027, so you get years of control. And he's maybe like one or two of the bright spots for the White Sox this year, who have just had a brutal season. But he did pitch well against the Red Sox a couple series ago. Yeah, he'd be awesome to have, without a doubt. The question is, what do the Red Sox have to give up to get him? And they have a great farm system, the Red Sox. They have all these guys that can really be impact pieces moving forward. So what they have to determine is if the big three, if one of those guys would be worth sending out to get a guy like Crochet. And I feel like with the way he's pitched this year, you actually might have to dip into one of those three at the very least to get a guy like Crochet, who, again, is young and controllable for years to come. So do you do that? And what dictates that is how the Red Sox continue to play as we approach the trade deadline, because they have to continue to build a case to be invested in, as much as we all want to see them make a win now move. So it remains to be seen, but the returns have been awesome, especially as of late. Four straight consecutive series wins, and they win 7-4 against the Reds. I want to thank Jacob Lassner. Great work behind the glass. Been great working with him today. I'm Joe Weil. Again, the final one final time. Red Sox 7, Reds 4. Red Sox take 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati, and they go 5-1 on their road trip. Pregame show, Mass Mutual pregame show, starts tomorrow at 6:10. First pitch 7:10 against the Blue Jays. Thanks for listening on WEI.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, we got a couple more minutes before we have to wrap things up here on Red Sox Review. And if you're just joining us, the Red Sox are rolling. They went 7-4 today, and they're now 6 games above 500. And they own the 3rd wild card spot right now in the American League. So everything on the up and up here in this city. Let's go to the phones one more time before we have to duck out. It's Lance in New Hampshire. He wants to talk about the trade deadline. Hey, Lance.
Hey, how's your day?
Oh, it's been good. It's been good. It got even better. How are you?
I am doing great, and I love this team, and this team needs and deserves support. And the name I want is Garrett Crochet, and it's going to take a lot to get him, and we've got what it takes.
All righty. I like a caller that knows exactly who he wants, and Lance, appreciate the call. And that's a name that is going to either be dealt at the trade deadline or will be talked about a lot, Garrett Crochet, because he is young and he doesn't hit free agency until 2027. So you get years of control, and he's maybe like one or two of the bright spots for the White Sox this year, who have just had a brutal season. But he did pitch well against the Red Sox a couple series ago. Yeah, he'd be awesome to have, without a doubt. The question is, what do the Red Sox have to give up to get him? And they have a great farm system, the Red Sox. They have all these guys that can really be impact pieces moving forward. So what they have to determine is if the big three, if one of those guys would be worth sending out to get a guy like Crochet. And I feel like with the way he's pitched this year, you actually might have to dip into one of those three at the very least to get a guy like Crochet, who, again, is young and controllable for years to come. So do you do that? And what dictates that is how the Red Sox continue to play as we approach the trade deadline, because they have to continue to build a case to be invested in, as much as we all want to see them make a win now move. So it remains to be seen, but the returns have been awesome, especially as of late. Four straight consecutive series wins, and they win 7-4 against the Reds. I want to thank Jacob Lassner. Great work behind the glass. Been great working with him today. I'm Joe Weil. Again, the final one final time. Red Sox 7, Reds 4. Red Sox take 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati, and they go 5-1 on their road trip. Pregame show, Mass Mutual pregame show, starts tomorrow at 6:10. First pitch 7:10 against the Blue Jays. Thanks for listening on WEI.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.